Mario is missing, or at least one of his hats is. Plus, another great rhythm game is about to be delisted. Tonight is August 6th, 2017, and the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. So you would say, even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And What Up G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
My first show in my new digs. The third studio for this show since I've been doing it for 12 years. This is it. We're here. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a fresh paint edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. If you're joining us live here at the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com, welcome. Head on over to our chat room, live.VogNetwork.com. I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. And if you are logged into the site, you can check in just like DJ Ronma S and Fifth Dream. They checked in at some point during the intro to the show. And they got some points on the new August leaderboard. Or if you're on the podcast feed, you can listen for a passphrase that will rudely interrupt the show. And you can put that same amount, that same phrase in there and get the exact same amount of love and points from me. A little bit later on, I am going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. The Skype line is Bobby Blackwell Show. That is all one word, or call toll-free in North America 1-888-36-GAME-1. Or you can comment on this episode over at VogNetwork.com. And we've actually been, we're up to date on the episodes. Like, last week's episode actually went up that night because I knew that I was going to be losing internet. I've basically been without internet all week, other than like cell phone, which is not the same. It's been a hellacious week. I even asked on our Discord. We've got a VogNetwork.com/Discord will get you the invite link if you have Discord. I even asked for news stories there. I got one 3 minutes ago. But I needed to plan the show a little bit sooner. I do wait to the last minute, but not 3 minutes, if I can help it. But it's been a very slow news week. I'm struggling to find things to talk about. But I guess it's good because I wasn't around really to pay attention to the gaming news this week. And I am sorry to say that, even though I know I'm supposed to be doing this every week and it's supposed to be important, which it is. I was moving, and I am actually not completed moving. So I'm going to give a little life tip for you guys. If you don't keep everything you have, seriously, you don't need every single CD from 1996. You really don't. Don't keep them around. You don't need every box of crappy games from the early 2000s. You really don't need them. Because what'll happen is you'll want to move in like 2017. And you're going to have to go through all that stuff because you're moving in with someone else, and you can't. And you're going to basically spend all your time going through all that stuff, and then the movers are going to show up, and you haven't finished packing. So take it from me: get rid of stuff. Don't be a pack rat. Don't be like me. Don't be like my father, who I learned it from. Don't be a pack rat, please. But I am almost done moving. Theoretically, I moved into this house on Wednesday, but today's the first day I actually haven't gone back to my old house, and I've got to get everything out by Tuesday of the old house. So wish me luck on that, but today I was able to actually stay here and actually set things up. So I got my computer set up today not the last minute, but about a couple hours ago, but it was kind of touch and go on if I could actually get the show done, show ready today. But I'm here now, at least I am. Just a little quick programming note for people. If Orange Lounge Radio is on a short hiatus due to some personal issues going on with Rob. If you didn't hear last week, Mama Roberts left us last week. And so Rob is taking some greatly needed time away to kind of handle things and take care of things. He says mid-August is when they will come back. I'm not holding him to that. You shouldn't hold him to that. When he decides he is ready to come back on the air, he will. And that'll be a decision that'll be made kind of later in the week, not a week in advance. So just pay attention to the OLR Twitter and the VOG Network Twitter and Discord and Rob's Twitter and all that stuff. OLR will return when it's time. They were aiming for mid-August last I heard. But Dark Sakura is going to be streaming on Twitch tonight during the normal time over at twitch.tv/DarkSakura_OLR. I don't know what she's picked tonight. She'll probably tell me during the show sometime, and I'll tell you what she's picked. She actually played like a bunch of games last week, so it's not necessarily one game, but she does kind of go over the news and give her thoughts on things. So why don't we go ahead and jump into the news that I did find? I mean, there's not a lot going on this week, and unfortunately, I haven't been able to play anything other than there's got to be a moving Tetris, maybe, because I'm trying to like stack my car full of things. So I've only been playing like real life Tetris. I played real life Splatoon a couple weeks ago, and that was actually the story that Tiger Claw put in. This is not in the show notes, so I'm doing this all from memory. Tiger Claw actually put in gave a story about Splatoon 2, about the recent Splatfest, where the correct answer, mayo, actually defeated ketchup in a Splatfest, which is the correct answer. That is actually the true mayo does actually defeat ketchup in all instances. It got it right, but a lot of people feel that they got it wrong. So what wound up happening is that ketchup was overwhelmingly popular. So in the Splatfest, a lot of ketchup people were playing against other ketchup people, because I guess like if you're on Team Mayo, you fight Team Ketchup and whoever wins and stuff like that. But because there were so many more people on Team Ketchup for whatever reason, Team Mayo, the underdog, actually wound up winning, because Team Ketchup had to keep fighting each other when they were playing online because there weren't enough Mayo players around because they were too busy enjoying mayo instead of sitting on the internet proselytizing about ketchup. Dark Tetsuya says, yeah, talk about awkward. See, Dark Tetsuya, you misspelled awesome. I know the keys are right next to each other, but you misspelled awesome because mayo is better. So that was the story there, but it turned out, I think it was like 73% of people chose ketchup, the wrong answer. But I think mayo got like 51% of the wins, kills, and 51% of something else, mainly because there were less matches. I don't know. So that some people are kind of questioning how Nintendo does things. Maybe they shouldn't, make a Splatfest that is so one-sided, you know, how mayo is so obviously better than ketchup. Dark Tetsuya says, really, I'm more surprised the U.S. wasn't ketchup versus mustard. Well, that's because mayo's better than mustard. I mean, seriously. But speaking of Nintendo, kind of staying on Nintendo for a little bit, Mario, he's had a little tiny bit of a makeover, at least a part of him, or a piece of clothing that he wears. And it's kind of interesting to see why this might have happened. GameSpot reports that it's relatively unusual for game box art to change after it's been officially revealed, but it seems that Super Mario Odyssey's box art has been tweaked slightly. Sombrero Mario has been replaced with Snorkeling Mario. The change was spotted by Twitter user Nibel, and several retailers now show the updated art. GameStop, Target, and Amazon have Mario snorkeling, while Walmart and Best Buy still advertise the Sombrero Mario art. Interestingly, the official Nintendo website still hasn't changed the box art. As a result, it's hard to say when or why this change was made, or even if it's going to stay this way. However, a quick look at the archive version of GameSpot's page from June looks like the box sported the Sombrero Mario art originally. So, if you remember the E3 demo of Super Mario Art Odyssey, one of the worlds, because basically Mario travels to other dimensions, other worlds, one of which being Earth. But another one is a stylized Mexican theme. And he's in there and he's wearing a poncho and a sombrero, and he's waving maracas. And there are a ton of outraged people that say that that's stereotyping. Now, I don't think Act Deft is in chat right now, so I can't completely speak for him. But I do have learned, because we've spoken about this before, or at least he has on other shows on OLR, that a lot of Mexican people actually appreciate the depiction of Sombrero Mario, and they like the fact that their culture has been represented in this game by a major title like this. So they appreciate it. But a lot of people who are very sensitive to racism and cultural appropriation and stuff think that this is a terrible thing and think that this is offensive. And so that's probably why Nintendo removed it, because only sharks are going to get offended by snorkeling, and that's because they can't eat Mario. And it is Shark Week, and I understand. I mean, there's less people watching right now, by the way, and probably the people listening to the show now are going to be, like, leaving. You know, Sharknado 5 is on right now. So, you know, I'm competing with Sharknado 5. It's premiering right now, or is it premiering in an hour? I don't know. I think it's right now. So, definitely, I know sharks are probably upset that they can't eat snorkeling Mario. But I think that's why they removed it. It's just because there's a little bit too much controversy. I hope they don't remove the level from the game. They probably can't at this point. It's way too far in development. I mean, it's coming out very soon. Kaijudo says, for years, Mario has been saying Mamma Mia, walking around with a stereotypical accent, and now they want to scream racism. He is kind of the stereotypical Italian plumber pizza. He's now only in the TV show was he eating a lot of pizza. But, you know, stereotypical Italian plumber. The overalls. Dark Disease says, really, I think it's just some people looking for something to be offended about. I've heard the same from the Mexican community, is apparently thrilled about the depiction. And I mean, I've spoken to a total of one Mexican. So I can't say that Mexican people are thrilled with it. I know one person who thinks it's great, and he lives in Mexico. But that is also obviously not, I don't think he can speak for the entire country. Tiger Claw mentioning the dimensions. Mario is from Earth, if I remember, but some version of Earth where people look like him. So it's obvious he traveled through different dimensions. So he traveled to an Earth from a different dimension where people look normal. No, he's not from Earth. He's from a dimension where mushrooms walk, where dinosaurs kidnap human women, and other dinosaurs have magic wands. That's not Earth. I'm sorry. It's not Earth. Ranma says, I know every Mexican on my Facebook feed loved it. So they love the depiction of Sombrero Mario. It was neat. I don't know that much about Mexican culture myself, unfortunately. I am a stereotypical American, and I apologize for that. But it seemed authentic. It's more authentic than the Mexican restaurants I eat at all the time. I'll say that. To register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Blackwell Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase piano. So, Super Nintendo Classic pre-orders. This was the next thing on my list here that I was going to talk about. I know I mentioned it earlier, and then I realized I just inserted it in. Super Nintendo Classic pre-orders, they're probably coming. So, like I said, if Nintendo wants me to get a Super Nintendo Classic, they'll let me buy a Super Nintendo Classic at face value. Not an inflated price. GameSpot reports that following a false start at Walmart, Nintendo has announced that Super SNES Classic Edition pre-orders will be available in the United States in August, that's this month, ahead of the system's September 29th launch. The company has also again suggested that it will offer an ample number of systems following the supply issues with last year's NES Classic Edition. In a post on its Facebook page, Nintendo said, quote, we appreciate the incredible anticipation, I wonder if they said that like Frankenfurter, that exists for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System, Super NES Classic Edition system, and we can confirm that it will be made available for pre-order by various retailers late this month, unquote. It did not offer a more specific date than that, nor did it say which stores would be offering pre-orders. Individual retailers may share their plans in the weeks ahead. We'll continue to monitor and track how to pre-order as SNES Classic Edition as more details are shared. Here's when they should do it. Ultimate troll job. Ultimate troll job. I know exactly if Nintendo wants to screw with everybody when they should allow the pre-orders to start. Monday, August 21st, at about sometime between noon and 2 Eastern. That's when they should do it. Why? because if you know what's going on during that time, the last thing you're going to be doing is sitting in front of a computer waiting to pre-order something. Ultimate troll job. I won't be around during that time. I'm going to be blinding myself. This article continues. There have been some concerns that in light of how officials of how difficult the NES Classic Edition was to find, the SNES Classic Edition will face a similar situation. Nintendo again tried to alleviate the worry, saying, quote, a significant amount of additional systems will be shipped to stores for launch day and throughout the balance of the calendar year, unquote. Nintendo previously said its currently plan is only to offer the system during 2017, adding that it will offer far more SNES Classic Edition units than it did with the NES model. And ActF says he's in chat now. Walmart sent out surveys to people, including me, about their SNES mini pre-orders. I got that survey link, too. I cannot wait to fill it out. I can't wait to. And Dungeon Bus says, significant amount. Haha. Okay, Nintendo, whatever you say. Yes. That means that they're going to make five of them instead of three. That's what it means. Then again, I have an NES Classic now, so I don't know if I can really complain. It fell in my lap, and I was able to get one. People are still correcting me about Mario Cannon. So here's Mario Cannon. Tiger Claw says, Kaijudo says Mario was from Earth. One day he was fixing some pipes and fell into the mushroom dimension. This is canon. Okay. I will not. If Kaijudo says it's canon, I believe him. Then again, he also says he just put his SNES in the washer dryer to shrink it down to mini size. Problem solved. Well, there you go. So, yeah, so I think if they want to troll everybody, August 21st, which, by the way, is the date of the solar eclipse, and that's the time of when the solar eclipse is passing over America, where, like, a lot, you know, you're probably, unless you're, like, in the far, like, southwest or northeast corners of the continental U.S., you're a good, you know, you're close to totality. I'm only, like, an hour away from totality, so I'm going to go stare at the sun. But that's when if I was them and I wanted to troll people, that's when I would release pre-orders, when everybody's outside, like, waiting for the eclipse. And then they have to actually, like, you know, look away from the eclipse to make sure they get an SNES Classic and they miss it. That's how I would do it if I wanted to troll everybody. But I'm also mean. And then, because, like I said, slow news week, so I'm actually going to talk about a delisting, and yet another delisting of an old game that I enjoyed playing, it's a Harmonix game, so it's a rhythm game that I enjoyed. Rock Band Blitz. If you remember Rock Band Blitz, it was on the PS3 and Xbox 360. It basically was Amplitude Rock Band, where you basically could play Rock Band songs, but it played like Amplitude. It was a way to get Rock Band into a controller form, so you didn't need to play a guitar. And it worked with your entire Rock Band library. And the 25 songs that came with it were later released for Rock Band 4. Well, it's going away. They posted on their forums, after a good gap, it's that time again. The demo and full game for Rock Band Blitz will be coming down on or before August 28th. Released in 2012 for the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3, it's not backwards compatible on either one, nor will it be in the future. But all 25 songs on the soundtrack can be brought over to Rock Band 4 at no additional charge. All 25 songs featured on Rock Band Blitz were released as standard DLC after the game came out. Those versions of the songs will remain up until further notice. So, essentially, all that happened is that the music licensing, it was probably a 5-year agreement. I bet, I didn't look, but I bet August 28th, 2012 is the day Rock Band Blitz came out. Or somewhere very near then. I bet that's when it came out. And so after 5 years, the license for the music that they licensed for that was probably specifically for Rock Band Blitz. It went away. And so the game was now delisted, but they still have the music licenses, which are separate for the actual Rock Band 4 library, which is why the songs are still going to be around for people to play Rock Band 4. But Rock Band Blitz, going to be gone. I enjoyed it, it was fun. It was a good thing to play with on controller. It actually did some Facebook integration, which kind of sucked because it then associated my real name with everything. Which I try not to do, but I sometimes fail at it. But you could actually challenge your Facebook friends and see them. So it wasn't limited to your friends list on your console. It also went out to Facebook. And so it had some kind of neat concepts. But it was basically Amplitude, the Amplitude gameplay, but with Rock Band branding with the rock songs. Which there was, I think, a Rock Band, if you play like Rock Band on the DS or on the PSP, Rock Band, I think it's Rock Band Unplugged on the PSP, it's exactly the same gameplay. It's Amplitude meets Rock Band. So delisting games, unfortunately, that's what we get in this digital age. It was never released physically. There were no physical copies of it. It was an Xbox Live only title, a PlayStation 3 Network only title. They don't say in this if it's going to still be downloaded if you've already purchased it. Some of the other games you can still download, some you can't. Make sure that you have it on your console and hope that your console doesn't fry if you want to continue playing Rock Band Blitz. Dark Tetsuya says, indeed, that's why I prefer physical whenever I can. Well, even then, here's what worries me. Because I'm with you. Okay, I would much rather drive to Best Buy and buy the physical copy of the disc and bring it home than spend, you know, $60 to Microsoft directly. It's just me. But here's what worries me. If you notice, on Xbox One and PlayStation 4, not on Switch, but on Xbox One and PlayStation 4, you still have to install that bad boy to the disc, the hard drive. You can't just play it from the disc. And so are we going to find in 5 or 6 years that even the installation has been taken away? Yeah, you might have the physical disc and you put it in there, but you know, are they going to do something in the future where you can't install that game to the disc anymore? Because remember, with software nowadays, you're not buying software, you're licensing software, even if it's on a disc. I don't know if that's going to happen. There's no indication that's going to happen, but you never put it past anybody. And the fact that you actually you never run games off the disc anymore, unless you're Nintendo. They all run from the hard drive. This is something that could happen. It could. Not saying it will, but it could. And that's what we're all afraid of. And that was it for the news of the news of the week that I could think of. A couple other things. I did actually get to hang out, go talk VR stuff just for a little bit before the music break. Actually hung out with our friends over at Futurist. They used to be ATL VR. We've had them on the show before. I've broadcast from one of their events, the Virtual Reality Meetup here in Atlanta. Went over to their new place. They actually got those new Microsoft VR headsets. And he's like, yeah, this is what it looks like. Okay, now you can't put it on. Nope. Ushered me away. It was on the night of the AltSpace VR shutdown, which we talked about last week, that AltSpace VR suddenly was shutting down. Well, I was at Futurist with Peter and Annie and the whole crew there. And Peter spent a lot of time in AltSpace. Like, this was... He was verklempt. Use a dictionary word there. He was sad. When during the final hour, he, you know, put on the headset and we turned on the monitor so we could see what he was seeing. And the way they did it, it was totally Majora's Mask. They basically had the moon coming and it got closer every minute. And eventually everything just went away and it just shut down. And he was pretty sad. So there are other options. I know Tiger Claw said that, like, I think Second Life has a VR successor. Linden Labs is doing a VR successor. We'll see how that is. And I know that, like, VR Chat is still around and a couple others that are from smaller teams that maybe didn't have venture capitalist funding. I know they're still around. So, you know, there's still going to be some options for social networking inside VR. Obviously, Facebook Spaces and Steam VR, Steam Home, is basically that as well. It wasn't as well used, shall we say, as AltSpace. Did get to hang out with them and be a part of that, even if I was just watching somebody else in VR. I only used AltSpace a couple times. I kind of wish I had time to use it more, and then they shut down. Kaijudo says, from now on, it's board games for me. Video games are getting crazy. Board games, once you have the board game, you have it. Tireclaw says, the Oasis will become reality. I would not be surprised if our future is the same as in Ready Player One. I remember everybody's like, you should talk about the trailer. And that was the day I was playing Real Life Splatoon, and I didn't get a chance to talk about the trailer. Ready Player One, the movie's coming out. And it actually looks like it's a good depiction of where VR is headed. So I'm happy about that. I am cautiously optimistic about Ready Player One, the film. And the reason I'm cautiously optimistic about it is I've read the book, okay? It is not award-winning literature, the book. It's not. It's very nostalgia-driven, yes, but it's not exceptionally well-written. It's like The Big Bang Theory. And I don't like The Big Bang Theory. I do not. I've tried watching it. I do not enjoy it. I watch it because other people, my friends and some of my family, say, I love Big Bang Theory. It reminds me of you. That's what they tell me. Because they like to laugh at people that are like me. Which is fine. I mean, that's what sitcoms are. It's you're laughing at a certain stereotype of a person, and Big Bang Theory just happens to be the one that my family thinks is all about me. But it's pandering. And it's the joke is the reference. And I worry that Ready Player One, the book, a lot of times it was the nostalgia was just he referenced this thing in the 80s. And it really wasn't consequential to the story. He just wanted to reference a Transformer for no reason, right? And like Big Bang Theory is the same way, where they pander, where the joke is they're playing D&D. Oh, the laugh track comes in and everything's hilarious because they're playing D&D. Whereas you look at another show, another sitcom like Community, and the jokes are what happened while they're playing D&D. That's the kind of humor I like, and that's the kind of references I like, is when they incorporate it into the story instead of just saying, ha, 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 look at them, they're in a comic book store. And there's portions of Ready Player One, the book, which are basically, ha, ha, I reference Back to the Future. Aren't I awesome? I just reference Back to the Future, Ghostbusters, and A-Team all at once. Isn't your nostalgia bone tickled? Right? And I worry the film's going to be like that. But, the trailer, it's not a trailer, it's a teaser. So it's basically saying, here's the type of stuff you would be able to see in the movie. And Steven Spielberg is actually directing this. He's not supervising it, he's not coordinating, he's actually the director. And one of the things he did change is he's not using any of his own references, so he took out all the E.T. references, all the Indiana Jones references out of the story. And they are changing the story a lot because that race, there's no race in the book, especially to get the Copper Key, which I think is what they're trying to get. But that's what's in the teaser. So I'm hoping that the teaser was just like, hey, this is a movie that's going to have a lot of 80s references. And then when the actual trailer comes out, maybe it'll be better. And I'm still going to go see it. I'm still going to go see it opening night. I'm not matinee. I'll give them all, $14 or whatever it's going to cost. I'll still go see it. I'm cautiously optimistic. Dungeon Bus says, people said the same thing about the Da Vinci Code years ago. It's not a particularly amazingly written book, but the story was really interesting. Yes, I read it. I also read the Da Vinci Code. Kaijudo asks, this book has E.T. in it. I'm pretty sure there's an E.T. reference. And it's been a while since I've read it. But I'm pretty sure there is at least one E.T. reference in there. I know there's an Indiana Jones reference in there. He says they're not putting E.T. in the movie, crazy. The way I understand, since Steven Spielberg is directing it, he wants to make it an homage to 80s pop culture, but he doesn't want to make it about himself. So anything he worked on, he is not going to put in the movie because he doesn't want it looking like, he's just giving himself a big old pat on the back. He wants to pay homage to everybody else that was with him in the 80s making pop culture. And so he's not actually going to put his own stuff in there. So, because, I mean, what could happen, it's one of those damn if you do, damn if you don't. Because people are saying, you know, I know people are saying that's lame. Is that because if he did put his own stuff in there, people would be like, wow, Steven Spielberg's really full of himself. He's so self-referencing his other stuff. Really? Could he have just stepped back? And now that he's like, well, I'm not going to do that, everybody's like, what do you mean you're not going to self-reference yourself? What do you mean you're not going to do that? And Tiger Claw says, technically, the DeLorean is the movie. He produced the Back to the Future movies. Well, he didn't direct them. That's kind of what I'm going at. He's not touching his directed properties. Because Back to the Future is a Robert Zemeckis film. So that's technically a Robert Zemeckis thing. Yes, Spielberg might have been involved, but it was a Zemeckis film. I'm going to take a quick music break. And then we'll be back to take your calls about what you want to talk about. It can be Ready Player One. It can be the loss of Sombrero Mario off the cover or anything else right after this break. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com.
This is Billy Mitchell, Video Game Player of the Century, and I'm participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show.
You know, Ernest Cline finally met Billy Mitchell and Walter Day. He's the author of Ready Player One. And he's like, I finally met my heroes. And I'm like, yeah, I met them like years ago. That means I'm cooler than Ernest Cline because I met them first. If you want to leave a bumper, you do not have to have met Billy Mitchell or Walter Day, the video game referee, the original video game referee. All you have to do is leave a bumper with an MP3 with just your voice to bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com or... you can leave a voicemail on the toll-free number. And I'm going to be opening up the phone lines right now. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. You can call in, and we already have a caller here on the line. So we're going to go ahead and take this. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, Bobby, this is Raginator.
Raginator, what's up, man?
Not a whole lot. I'll try to make this short and sweet just in case Rama or Ekduff want to call in, too. To make a long story very, very short, I'm now in the market to buy a new monitor because the monitor that I had bit the dust a couple days ago. In fact, I have to rely on my projector to use my computer whatsoever. That's why you see on in the background.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I can see Chad in the background. He's got video shared.
Yes. So, since I don't have an actual function monitor right now, it's kind of hard to get any gaming on. You know,
right.
I can kind of make it sort of work with some games, but not really. But anyway, all that being said, when I do get a monitor, you know, I want to get like a relatively low-end cheap one. By that, I mean like no more than $150 at the most. Now, with that criteria being stated, are there any recommendations that you might have?
Well, if you're going to be gaming on it, really the thing you should look at most is latency. The lower the number, the better. It'll be measured in milliseconds, and that's basically how much video lag there is. Right. So even if it's a lower resolution monitor, which is probably what you're going to have to be able to get if you're not going to spend over $150, the latency is more important than the resolution for gaming.
All right. Yeah, I kind of figure stuff like their ultra-wide screen ones or the 4K ones and stuff like that.
No.
Yeah, that's definitely not going to happen, you know, especially for $150 or less. But I kind of figure, you know, maybe if I look around, maybe I can find a 1080p one. But
I'm pretty sure you'll be able to find a good 1080 monitor that has low latency. You know, maybe not the lowest latency, but you don't want something that's very high latency. I think you'll be able to find one for $150, but I haven't shopped for monitors in years, so okay. I don't know.
All right. One final question, before I let you go. Of all the major out of all the major retailers, be it the brick and mortar stores or the online retailers, for monitor purposes, who am I better off going to?
I usually go to Fry's.
Fry's?
Yeah, but I don't know if there's a Fry's in your area.
There might be, but I'm not positive.
Yeah.
I know there's at least a FYE, but
that's totally different. FYE is totally different than Fry's. No, Fry's, I mean, or a Best Buy or something could work as well. I know like a Walmart probably sells monitors and stuff, but you'll find better ones probably at Best Buy.
All right. Yeah, in fact, I'm positive there is a Best Buy in my general area.
Or Amazon.com.
Oh, right. All right, I'll definitely check this out. Thanks again, and have a nice evening.
Thank you. Ronma says, there are no Fry's on the East Coast. You are incorrect. There are two Fry's in Atlanta. I just moved back to be close to one of the Fry's out here. I am now probably about 6 miles away from a Fry's. And also Micro Center. Acer monitors are the best, which, by the way, I have an Acer monitor. So, yes, Micro Center is another one if you have one of those in your area. There is also a Micro Center here in Atlanta as well. And Kaijuda says, what's a Fry's? It's FRY apostrophe S Electronics. Primarily, they're out in the West Coast is where they started. But it's basically – it's a huge electronics store. It is where I go if I need like they sell oscilloscopes and telescopes and you know, actual like electrical engineering equipment and soldering kits, as well as home theaters and computer books and video games. And basically it's electronics heaven is basically what it is. Dungeon Buster says Newegg has a 23-inch, 1-millisecond monitor, less than $150. So he said to Newegg. So, yeah. And Brad says, so what Radio Shack used to be? Yes. But imagine if Radio Shack was the size of a Super Walmart. That's what a Fry's is. So we do have another call here on the line. So I will go ahead and pick this up. Bobby Blackwell Show, you're on the air. Who is this?
Hey, it is Act Deft.
Act Deft. I talked about you all during your power outage. You missed the entire first 15 minutes of the show, you said.
Yeah, I had a power outage.
Yeah.
We managed with the heat here and all that stuff, but yeah, you talk about something about Nintendo related that concerns kind of to me.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm kind of mad at Nintendo.
So is this about Mario being missing?
No.
Okay.
It's about the Splatfest.
Oh.
Yeah.
But they didn't do anything wrong.
Mayonnaise won.
I know. That's why I said they didn't do anything wrong.
No, they did.
I am on Team Mayo. I am Team Mayo.
No, but seriously speaking, about the whole Mariochi, mm-hmm. if you want to call him like that, being missing from the cover from Mario Odyssey,
yeah.
you know? I don't really see the big problem here. It's kind of disappointing. I'm going to give him that, but... Mm-hmm. The Mariochi is gonna be in the game, still. Yeah, he's gonna be there. It's gonna be fun. I'm gonna be still really really proud of it, and I'm mostly gonna use. I'm gonna be in that stage like a lot probably, because it doesn't seem offensive at all. At least for me.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was saying to kind of recap what happened during the first 15 minutes is that, you know, every Mexican person I know, which is all of one, actually liked the depiction and stuff. So that's why I'm kind of like, so why are they taking it away? And I think it's just other people are getting outraged on your behalf. And that might be why they're trying to be more sensitive.
Yeah, most probably. If that's the reason why, yeah. If you ask a lot of Mexicans and a lot of my friends are actually excited to see Mexican Mario, the Mexican Mario with the hat, with the serape,
mm-hmm.
with all. It's like really awesome. It's like being like, yeah, it's something we have waited for. So many years to happen.
And it seems more authentic. What I said is it seems more authentic than most of the Mexican restaurants I go to here in America.
Definitely. It's like, if you ask people about like stuff like that, some people may get offended, but if it's used in an incorrect manner, if you say it like that. But I'm going to say the example of Speedy Gonzalez.
Okay.
Mexicans love Speedy Gonzalez. We love Speedy Gonzalez. Mm-hmm. And there was a great outrage about him, and, oh, it's stereotypical and all that stuff. And no, it's something like, yeah, he's the good guy. He beats the bad guys. He beats Sylvester in the cartoons. He's probably one of the best characters Looney Tunes has. Mm-hmm. And it's not offensive. It's like, yeah, it's a joke. Yeah, we get it. It's not something we're going to be offended about.
I mean, they make fun of New York City, too, in this game.
Mario has made fun of stuff.
So now, Kaijudo asked a question, and I honestly do not know the answer because I'm American, and that means I only know about my own culture because I'm an idiot. Kaijudo says, if the gear he's wearing is sacred, I can see why people get mad. It would be that way if he had Native American headdress, but if it's everyday clothes, that's different. Is Mario wearing, like, sacred clothing or something like that, or is it more everyday?
It's not sacred at all.
Okay.
It isn't your daily or your average present clothes you see a Mexican wear. That's probably why people find it offensive, because it's the classic stereotype. Mm-hmm. Mexicans don't wear that anymore, don't dress like that anymore. But again, it's not something like they're wearing like Mayan or Aztec penache. So mm-hmm. That's sacred headwear. Mm-hmm. No, it's something that in other times, that it was the clothes you wore on those times. And some people in some rural areas still wear it, but it's logically like not that many people. But again, it's not offensive. Many people, if you ask, I think like out of 10 Mexicans, probably just one, and that's saying much. Mm-hmm. We'll get offended about Mexican Mario, but if you ask the rest of the people, right, they're going to love it.
But then again, also, one out of 10 dentists say the toothpaste does nothing for you. So, you know, do we really trust that one?
Exactly.
Now, I will say what is offensive, though, what is offensive to me is saying that ketchup is better than mayo.
No. Ketchup is better. I would prefer mustard.
So you initially wanted to call in and talk about the Splatfest. Is it just because there were so many more ketchup players that there weren't as many matches against mayo? Like, what's kind of the underlying thing about, other than just, oh my god, mayo rightfully won?
Yeah, it happened a lot of times with in Splatoon 1. That the most popular team doesn't necessarily is the one that's going to win, and it's the trend. It's something that being popular or being the most popular isn't assuring of winning, because of that same reason. Because you get paired with other catch-up teams in this case, mm-hmm. that you don't play against the other team as frequently, And if the other team is like organized and they're playing like together, like in this case, you have you don't only have individuals, you have actual teams playing together to get to get the win in this case. Uh-huh. So yeah, it's something that even in Splatoon 1 happened. It's not surprising. And I kind of knew it was going that Mayo may was going to win, though I had the slightest chance that Ketchup could have won, because I thought Ketchup was a better team, mm-hmm. and so many people on Twitter were saying, oh, I have won so many times against Mayo and that and all that stuff. So yeah.
So you thought that ketchup could catch up to mayo. So here, how about this? What's the solution?
I really don't know, because even in the beginning, in Splatoon 1, they changed, I think, like 2 or 3 times the mechanics or how the score is counted for the Splatfest, because at the beginning, it was points. The team that had the most points won. So in those cases, the most popular team won, but it wasn't fair because like in this occasion that, oh, mayonnaise won in the matches, so it isn't fair to the teams that actually won, that the most popular won.
But so. Now you don't want it to be fair. You're now like, no, screw fairness. It's a popularity contest.
Yeah. I feel conflicted. That's what I'm going to say. But to be honest, like the way it is right now, I think it's the best way. Not necessarily like totally fair, but I think it's the best way because if Team Mayo actually like won those matches and was a better team than Team Ketchup, then they deserve to win.
And they did, because Mayo eaters are better teammates. It's just a fact.
Oh, well. But, yeah, that's the case with Splatfest. And I don't think it's something that they need to change. It's just something for fun. Like, all this banter, all the rivals. All that stuff. Yeah,
now they should just do Sombrero Mario versus Snorkel Mario.
Yeah.
And the winner of the Splatfest gets put on the cover of Super Mario Odyssey.
I like that idea.
Awesome. Thanks for your call, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I'm going to, just in case somebody else wants to call in, Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free North America. Not a lot of time left. Just so you guys know, there is no Orange Lounge Radio tonight. They are still in hiatus because of the loss of Mama Roberts. Probably sometime mid-August, but don't hold anybody to that. That decision will be made when it is appropriate to be made. But Dark Sakura is already, she's already messaging me. She's like, when can I take it? When can I take over? When can I take over? So she's going to be on Twitch right after I'm, you know, probably she might actually already be on Twitch just streaming music. But she will be starting right when my outro starts. She's going to be reading, talking about the little bit of news that's out there this week. And she's going to be continuing her run through Everybody's Gone to the Rapture. She started that game last week on the stream, and she's going to be continuing it tonight over at twitch.tv/DarkSakura_OLR, or it'll be hosted by my channel. It'll be hosted on VOG Network's Twitch channel, so you can get to it at any of those places. I will be there watching and seeing what happened to everybody in the Rapture. So, looks like nobody else is going to be calling in tonight, so that's it. I will be back next Sunday night. Now that I'm in my new digs, my new cavernous room, it is actually bigger now that I've like got all my stuff set up, and I set up my office in kind of the same configuration. There's like more room here, so I actually have a better VR office. But it also means I can actually hear a little bit of an echo myself. I don't know if it comes through on this microphone or not, so it'll be interesting when I come back and listen to this. But I don't know if I'm gonna have to soundproof this room or do something with it. But now that I'm settled in to my new digs, I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice Geeks Network at fognetwork.com. Catch us live and interact with the show directly. You can reach me and you can leave me a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper for use in the show on the toll-free number, which is 1-888-36-GAME-1, or you can email me an MP3 to bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com. Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf, Twitter @BobbyBlackWolf, Twitch.tv/BobbyBlackWolf. That's where I'm at. Or you can submit feedback on the episode pages at VogNetwork.com, or join the Discord, VogNetwork.com/Discord. And they say no echoes. So this is a very good microphone because I think I'm hearing the echoes just like from outside of my headphones. I don't know. So if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it might be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. So thank you very much, Dark Sakura, Dark Tetsuya, DC Nate, Ronma, VHJ6V, Bird, Doomplague, Fifth Dream, Havoc978, JD, Shadow Next Gen, Tigerclaw, ActF, BaconBits, Bowl, Brad from Pod Culture, Dungeon Buster, Eric RPG, Fluke, Kaijudo, Kazan, Nuxonic, Matt Fox, MXC, MXT, Neek, Raginator, and Spiffy. So lightning there. I saw some lightning and I just heard the thunder, so I should probably get this show saved and out of here. Remember, just go watch Dark Sakura. Sci-Fi will run Sharknado 5 over and over again, so you don't need to watch it live. Watch Dark Sakura instead.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.